Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud. As always, we're available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher. Head on over to the website, americaoutloud.com, and feel free to share those articles. And you know the beautiful thing about sharing our articles is someone you know will see it, and then they will share it, and then the trend continues. Next thing you know, your share has reached hundreds of people. We really appreciate that. But we got a big show tonight with Latinos for Trump President, Bianca Gracia. But first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing good, and I'm excited about tonight's show because it's right up my alley. I'm glad we have someone else on the show who can dispel some of the myths, the lies that's being told by the left that there's no one in the Latina community or the Black community that supports Trump. And if they are supporting Trump, it's just one or two or three people. That is a lie that's being perpetrated that is out there. When you look at the polling and you look at the amount of Latinos and Blacks that voted for Trump, it's staggering. But yet and still, the left will say it did not happen. And I don't know if they're doing that just to scare people or to make people think that, it's just all smokes and mirrors. It's not happening. They're not voting for him, but they are. And you know why? Because people are waking up. They're fed up and they're tired of the Democrats' policies that have gotten us nowhere. Look at today. Look at what's happening. Nothing but division. Look at our border. Look at our inner cities. Policies by the Democrats. The blue states. The crime that we see. Infested. All over. But yet and still, they're saying that vote for us. We can correct this. We have the cure. No, you don't. You look at our inner city schools. I mean, no matter where you turn, it's nothing but a lot of failed policies that they have implemented time and time again. California, New York City, big blue states. And then when you start trickling down to those large cities within those areas, disgraceful. But you turn on the news and they will tell you something completely different. They'll tell you that, look at us, it is our policies, we will help you get out. No, your policies create a dependency. Your policy breeds nothing but dependency. And it's time for people to wake up and realize that the more we vote Democrat and we support them, we're not going to get anywhere. So without further ado, I am glad to bring on Bianca. Bianca, how are you?
Well, how are you, Rob and Andrew? I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm fired up. I don't know about Andrew.
Well, you know, it only takes a little bit to get me going and get me fired up. That's they call me.
Go ahead.
La conservadora tejana.
Uh-huh. You know, I was watching you in some of your interviews and I was like, man, I've got to get her on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Because thank you
she is telling it like it is. And we need more voices like that out there because they try to suppress the voices of reason. Mm-hmm. I was on Twitter. I had 75,000 followers. I got kicked off. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, I have 75. There are other people that have more than that. What is it about my voice? Is it starting to resonate? Is someone looking at this and saying, we got to shut him down before too many people start listening to him? Look at what they did to Donald Trump. They kicked mm-hmm. him off. Mm-hmm. Kicked him off Facebook. They want to keep him off. No matter where you look, voices of reason that's out there, they want to silence those voices. But here at After Dark with Rob and Andrew, we're giving those voices a platform. Hence, awesome. We brought you on. So tell us a little about yourself, Latinos for Trump. Talk to us. Tell us about it.
So Latinos for Trump, actually, you know, this is surprising because I hear you talking about that, you know, the mainstream media pretends like we don't exist or we just kind of maybe, I don't know, just a few of us out there. Right. But we've actually been in existence since 2016. We started it as a movement. Many, many movements across the country were happening. You know, it's kind of how social media exploded, Twitter and as well as Facebook. So you saw all these, you know, pages being created. There was Hispanics for Trump, Mexican Americans for Trump, Latinos for Trump. There was Cubans for Trump, Cuban Americans for Trump. I mean, you saw pages popping out like crazy. And so basically, what I did is we started, me and two other moms here in the Houston, Texas area started, we kind of got together and said, we need to do something. And we were all Latinas and we were Christian conservative Latinas. And we said, we've got to start speaking out. And so we did, and we started Latino Trump Coalition out of Texas. And then what we did is I said, well, let's go. The Cubans seem to have it all figured out, right? Because based on their lives and everything that they were putting on their page, they seemed like they had it all figured out. So we flew to Florida. We marched with the Cubans where there was like 2,000 people in the street right in front of Univision as they were protesting Jorge Ramos because he refused. Nobody would talk about the conservative movement. And so we learned from them, came back to Texas, and then we started to do our own flag waves, pop-up flag waves. And we would see that, you know, there was support on the ground. If we popped up in street corners that were very busy, we would get, you know, honks and thumbs up. There was some that obviously were deranged. They couldn't, the Trump word would totally send them off the rail, and they would throw bottled waters at us, oh, yeah. Curse at us. You know, we had that. It wasn't very easy to come out in 2016, but there was still, you could still see that the pulse of the people were actually with Trump. And so then there was the California groups and the Nevada groups and the Colorado groups and the New York groups, and they were very active. So we started to communicate with all the leaders and all the organizers, and, you know, everybody would ask them. I mean, I had people from the Trump campaign that would call me, and they would say, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, no, there's lots of support. And they didn't believe it. Right. Because, of course, no media was reporting that there was Latino support. Actually, during the campaign, I called the Trump campaign. I would call them every day up in Trump Tower in New York. And I would complain that we needed literature. We needed Spanish. We need Spanish speakers representing the org, you know, the campaign. You had Laura Trump out on the East Coast in her, you know, RV or the bus or whatever that they went, Women for Trump or whatever that they put up, and they had no Latina on there as representation. So I heard many over and over people in North Carolina, South Carolina, when they would go down Florida, they'd say, hey, there's Spanish media that's here that's ready to, you know, take on interviews, but they had no Spanish speaking person. They had Katrina Pearson. They had Patton. Her name was Patton. Lynn Patton. And they had, you know, I think there was an Asian girl. I can't remember them all, but they didn't have a Latina on the bus. And so I would call and complain and complain. And this other guy out of Florida was calling and complaining too. And we finally got a phone call from this girl, and she says, I've been pulled from the like data department or something. That's all I've been doing is data. And they literally, she said, they went into the room and said, does any of you speak Spanish? And she's like, I do. And they're like, come here. You've just been promoted. And she's like, what? And she was like, what? So she contacted me and the guy in Florida. And she's like, what can I do to help y'all? Cause they were like, somebody, like these people keep calling, like somebody please address them, cause we don't know how to help them. And so that's what kind of started the outreach with the Hispanic community. But I mean, it was very fast paced, and this was not till closer to the end, more towards the beginning. So we were up against a bunch of obstacles, but she was able to provide us. She's like, and then it was red tape, because in a campaign, somebody has to approve it, and she had to come up with all this. And I'm like, we just need a push card. Just give us the talking points. We just need the talking points. The ones that you're given in English, just give it to us in Spanish so we can take them on. And that's how it just started. I mean, it was just totally grassroots, organically done. I was pushing out everything she would give us. We would push it out to obviously all the other organizers. We were a huge movement. And I would tell people, he's going to get, you know, anywhere from 25 to 30% of the vote. And they were like, there's no way. They laughed at me. They're like, and everybody was like, he's only going to get 9 to 13%, 11% or whatever. He will never win the Hispanic population. He called them murderers and rapists. And I'm like, oh, good Lord. So they wouldn't listen. And sure enough, at 2016, he got 29% of the vote. And wow. I went back and I told the Latino vote, he got 29%. And so I went back and I talked to, you know, people and that were within the campaign and, you know, higher ups and said, you know, look, had you actually given us a voice, or given any Latinos voices on airwaves, on anything really, had you let us, you know, speak out on behalf of the campaign, we would have identified with more Latinos. And so I made it I personally made it a mission for me. And I said, I want to double those numbers. I really want to double the numbers because we're at an advantage right now. So I actually immediately right after the campaign, I got hired on by the Republican Party of Texas here in Texas, obviously, as a Hispanic engagement director. They literally threw me into the job. I mean, like from one week to another, they had me like interviewed three times and I was like, no manual, no nothing. They're like, here you go, state of Texas, go figure out, you know, go do something, right? Go do Hispanic engagement.
Right.
Interestingly enough, you know, the GOPs, the RNCs, the RPTs, whatever you want to call them, right? Republican parties. They didn't believe in going to Democrat areas because they said, no, we don't go into that territory. I'm like, well, then who do you want me to talk to? Like, that's where the Hispanics live. They're like, I'm like, why would I go talk to the Republican women? Why would I go talk to the areas that are already red? Like, why would I do that? Like, that doesn't make no sense. So they were very discouraging about me going into any, you know, Democrat area. They're like, that's very heavily blue. And I said, no, I'm going to go and talk to the Hispanic people. You hired me to do Hispanic engagement. I mean, that's what I'm going to do. And they didn't like it. I mean, they fought me. And then finally, you know, it's like I had to prove myself. And they were like, where are you finding all these people? I'm like, in the freaking Hispanic community. So they kind of started to let me, you know, like because nobody knew me. I was a stay-home mom for 10 years. I hadn't been working. I homeschooled my kids. I was like, nobody, I wasn't some political pundit or anything. I just was birthed out of the, you know, the movement. And so they hire me and I'm, you know, moving along. And then, you know, I don't know, about 2 years later, we had a change in leadership and the leadership didn't want to do Hispanic engagement anymore. So they pretty much dismantled the whole engagement department. And so there we were. So it was a transition, but I started to work with a lot of the Hispanic evangelicals within the state of Texas. And then that turned me on to, I had Hispanic evangelicals from Florida, North Carolina, Colorado, Oklahoma, California, New York, New Jersey. I don't even know how I found myself within all these Hispanic, or, you know, I found myself like at the pulpit, on Sundays, you know, preaching. And I was like, I'm a Catholic. I don't know what I'm doing. but the Lord was like kind of just opening the door and I was like being a voice for our people. And pastors were like, I was like, look, you know, you guys are, This is my message. I'm not here to tell you you're Republican. I never would tell people that. I don't tell you you're Republican. I tell you why I am. I tell you why I'm conservative. And I'll tell you this. If you're godly people and you're praising and worshiping the Lord in this congregation, you cannot sit there and say that you're going to vote for people who believe in abortion. It's a very biblical thing. It's thou shalt not murder. So how can you give up the abortion issue? For the fact that you want immigration papers, you know, because there was people in the congregations that were illegal. And I'm like, illegal is illegal. You know, it's wrong. And, you know, whether you did it or not, it's no different than stealing a piece of bubblegum. It's illegal. You crossed over illegally. And I'm not shaming you. I'm not trying to condemn you, but you have to understand that you, for the sake of voting for people that are promising you that American dream and that paper in your hand, you are giving up the murder of babies. And they were like, oh my God. Cause I don't think they actually have pieced it together. They just really didn't know. So it was an awakening within the church. They're like, we can't have blood on our hands. I'm like, well, you are New York. I mean, listen, don't take it from me. Look at New York. It's passing laws that you can murder the baby up until birth. They were like, oh my God, you know, I mean, it was an awakening. And so, you know, within the Hispanic evangelicals, they themselves started to mobilize and organize. We started to work with the White House. We started to work with the faith community liaisons out of the White House. We started to take pastors into the White House, you know, and I said, look, you guys go and see what this administration is doing on behalf of, you know, just our biblical values, but also for the Hispanic community, because you're not going to hear it on the news. You're not. And so I took about 8 groups of Hispanic evangelicals to the White House for faith-based briefings. And that's how, you know, they started to could understand. And they were being put out on, you know, they started receiving emails from the White House with their talking points, with things, hey, we have a conference call, White House conference call. They would get on the conference calls. They would hear what's going on policies, policy wise. And then they could be a voice for their community now. And I would tell the pastors, you guys are leaders of your community. And they were like, yes, we are. And I'm like, you are leaders. And what your word says, and I know that you've been told that politics and religion doesn't mix, but it does. And because you're not mixing it, our society is deteriorating. So they understood. And it was about educating our community. And I just continued that in 2018, I went ahead and filed, and I told leaders across the country. And I said, look, if we really want to be serious and we're going to be taken serious in 2020, and we want a seat at the table, we need to be legitimate. So I filed for a nonprofit out of the state of Texas. I opened up a PAC and we started to organize on an official, level. And that's how we got started. And we were just, everything was mission based on educating our community, not telling them that they were Republican, but telling them, here's why we are conservative. Here's why we're voting the way we're voting. At the end of the day, you make your own decision. But as long as I can say I left here and I informed you, that's what matters to me. At the end of the day, I'm not going to tell you which way to vote. I'm not going to tell you how to do anything in your life, but I want you to be informed. I don't ever want anybody to come and say, well, the Hispanic community is just too stupid to know. And I said, regardless of your choices. And I think people respected me for that. They respected that I wasn't there to throw something down their throat and sell them an agenda or tell them that they were something and make them feel like that's what they were, because I wanted them to feel like they were valued, that they had a mind of their own to say, here are the facts. This is what the Democrat Party stands for. Here's their platform. If you don't believe me, go Google it. Here's the party platform of the Republican Party. If you don't believe me, go Google it. This is what the policies are. This is what they are. You go and research them. And wherever at the end of the day, wherever you think that your belief system is, that's how you should be voting. And that's all that I had to say. And so it was very, very big, but I started planting the seeds in the Rio Grande Valley, which is where all the talk is right now. How in the world did Trump win some counties out in the Rio Grande Valley in Texas? Well, it's because of the seeds I started to plant back in 2016, 17. Pretty much 2017 is really when I really started it. He got inaugurated in 2017 and I already had been hired by December, 2016. So it was in 2017 that I really started to lay all the groundwork. The Republican Party was frustrated because they were like, we're not going to win. I'm like, listen, you have to break generational. This is generational. These people have been voting Democrat because this is all they know. And you're not going down there and having conversations with them, so they don't know any better. They're going to keep voting Democrat. It's just tradition. So you saw that this big movement, and we started mobilizing and organizing. Our organization grew. We have leaders from across the country. We're heavily in Texas, heavily in Florida. We have people that we work with within California, with the Lexit crew out in California. We've learned to work with other organizations and other movements, and that's what we've been doing. I believe that we as Latinos from at the forefront, our group, we are the ones that broke down that barrier for others to feel like they had a voice. We got that Nino America out there and his following. I mean, he's ex-gangster, oil field worker now, really a big lover of God. And he is just, he is like, we are conservative. And I said, this is what I've been trying to tell you all along. Latinos are conservative by nature. We always have been. And now I think sometimes I tell people, I think we're more conservative than the white people. And they kind of laugh at me. I'm like, I'm serious. And they're like, they're actually agreeing with me. The white people are like, I think you're right. And I'm like, I think so. We're just more conservative by nature, in our belief system, and this is how we honor our grandparents. This is how we honor our parents. It's very conservative principled, and we're not all perfect. I'm not saying the whole Latinos are all perfect and we're all super, but for the majority, our value system is of God. I mean, you go into any Hispanic household, you're going to find a Bible, crucifix, a Virgen de Guadalupe, a saint. You're going to find something religious in the house. You're going to find something. Second of all, we're very hard, a hardworking culture. You know, we believe obviously in family. And so we believe in jobs. That's what Trump was talking about. Jobs, economy, growth. We had the ultimate, we had the lowest unemployment rate ever in history with Trump in office. For our Hispanics were prospering. You know, the fastest growing small business was Latina women during Trump's administration. That was the fastest growing because he deregulated and they cut taxes. So it allowed our Latino communities to thrive and to start their small businesses again, to expand because they weren't being overtaxed and overregulated. These were things that at the end of the day, Hispanic families understand there's more money in their pocket and they're able to feed their children and they want a better education for their children. That's what people want. They just want a little piece of the what the American dream is. And so that's where we're at, Rob and Andrew. I mean, that's how we started and we have grown and we've done so much. The Trump train that I think went viral across the country where everybody started driving around with Trump flags. We pioneered that out of the Rio Grande Valley. My leader down there, you know, is the one that he said I was putting too much pressure on him. They think I'm a slave driver in a nonprofit volunteer organization. I don't ever put myself at the forefront. It's about all of us as a team. But he prayed because he thought I was putting too much pressure on him. And he said, I asked the Lord at 3 a.m. in the morning. He's like, Bianca is putting so much pressure on me, God. Just tell me what to do. Give me an idea of something to do. And if it goes viral, I'll know that it came from you. And so the Lord told him, put two flags in the back of your truck and drive around. And he did. And he started it like at the beginning of June. No, beginning. It was like at the end of May. Early June. And then he found himself with 5-10 cars following him. So we got their numbers and they said, let's meet next Saturday. And then it went viral. Everybody saw them. And so then the Lord blessed us with money. A donor came along and 12 of my leaders became national delegates for the RNC convention. And then it got canceled. So he was going to sponsor all of us for becoming delegates. I mean, I don't know how many other organizations can say that they put up 12 delegates, and especially from the state of Texas, being Hispanic, all from one organization is a huge accomplishment. And the donor knew that. But when they canceled it, he said, what is your vision? And I said, you know what? In 2016, Laura Trump was going out there on the East Coast and going with this RV. She had no Latinas. And the Lord told me I was going to get on an RV and I wanted to do that. And he goes, pues, dale gas. Put the metal to the pedal is what he said. Take the money that I've given you and go get yourself an RV, a bus or whatever and go. So I got my team together. We put an RV tour together in August of last year as we already had started the Trump trains. And we did 19 cities in 6 days in Texas. All the rural communities, small Democrat little areas. We go, we drive up, we pop up and wave our flags and draw people to us. We would get people from the local area to do voter registration. We had taxi cab drivers that would stop, get registered to vote. I mean, you couldn't imagine. It was such a phenomena. And we were seeing this on the ground and it was awesome. And of course, once we started to really like, it was inevitable what was going to happen, right? With the Hispanic community. Facebook was blocking us. Everybody was like, they were censoring us at all time levels. I had even sent CNN had like contacted me. They're like, do you have anybody in the Rio Grande Valley? I was like, do we have anybody? Of course. So I sent my two leaders, they interview them. I think their message went viral. Rolando's went viral. Everybody picked it up because he told CNN, yes, I live a mile from the border and I want the wall longer and taller. And that was what they said. Oh my God. They were like, we found some Latinos in the Rio Grande Valley. And I'm like, you didn't find us. We're not like the M&Ms that you open the package. Oh, we found M&Ms. They're real. We've been here. Right. We've been here since 2016. What are you talking about?
They did not want that voice to be heard. But something that you said, Bianca, mm-hmm. that I think is just so true. When you looked and you said, wait a minute, you guys have got to start going into those communities and talking to the people. Mm-hmm. I say that all the time on this show. Andrew mm-hmm. and I, we talk about it. They can't be afraid to go into the Black community, go to those churches because that's where you're going to find them and talk to them. And I don't care if you think that they're all blue, but when mm-hmm. you start laying down, this is who we are. Take away the Republican and just giving them the policies and the ideas. Black people, too, are conservative. We're all about the family. And you have got to go in. It's going to be uncomfortable because you've never done it before. But you've got to go and you've got to talk to them. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with Republicans is that they're always pushing out the old white man. It's like those days are over. And if you want to bring in more people, you've got to start going into those communities, going into those churches on Sunday morning, because that's where you're going to find a lot of Black people. And they might say they vote blue. But if you talk to them and say, this is our policy, this is what we are about. If you're not seen and if you're never out there and they don't see anyone who's representing them, of course they're going to look the other way, all the while knowing that their belief system is deeply rooted into conservatism. So I'm glad that you still, I'm glad that you called and you said, yeah, we see Laura Trump out there, but where's a Latina on the bus? They're going to look and say, okay, where am I? Where do I fit into this policy? And that's how Democrats are able to win every time, because they're able to frame it and say, see, you have no one like yourself that's there. So they're racist. And it has nothing to do with that. It is a perception. And if you put those people out there, like you said, like you did, I mean, that's a fantastic story. Are you sure you're not going to run for an office or something? Because your story, I mean, what you just said is key to getting more Blacks and Latina voters out there to support the party ideas, but already share those values. It's just getting them out there.
And it's very interesting because when I did work for the party, I will tell you that one of the first things that I did is I said, you know, I want to create like a town hall, kind of like I want to go into the communities and tell people to come to our town hall, so to speak. And I want to invite them and let's have a conversation. You know, why are you, what do you think of political parties? Why are you conservative, not conservative? You know, what do you think about conservatives? What do you think about the liberals? You know, what do you think about it? You know, just, I wanted to have conversations and I wanted to do focus groups. And when I first started the idea, I was actually talking to my hairdresser who's Hispanic. And I said, I want to do this. And I was like, and I want to name the tour. I want to do it a tour. She's like, call it Dime. Come tell me. Because that's what it means in Spanish. Come tell me. And I was like, oh, I like that. The Dime tour. So I created this Dime tour and the Republicans fought me. They were like, can we have so-and-so come speak and so-and-so come speak? And I said, no. And they were like, did she just tell us no? I was like, no. I said, no. Exactly. So no. Right. I was like, that's a white person. This is not a hoorah. I'm going to put a white person up to come tell them these Hispanics as we're having conversations why they're Republican. No, this is not a campaign. This is a real conversation because we need to gather data on what they're thinking about the political climate. We just got out of a very horrific campaign with Hillary and Trump and everybody else. And we need to be hearing what the people are saying. And so they fought me so hard. And I said, no, I'm going to find Hispanic conservatives who don't ever get asked to speak, but they may be city councilmen. They may be, you know, I don't know. They may have another elected official. Maybe they campaigned before and never won. I need Hispanic leaders at the forefront who haven't been given the microphone. That's who I'm going to line up to speak in intervals. And they were just like, I mean, they didn't know what to do with me. They really didn't. But when they saw that it worked, they were like, holy moly. And how did you get all these people here? I'm like, I asked. I mean, that's what I did. And then I was like, oh, we're going to feed them. And they're like, what? We're going to feed them. They want to put cookies and punch out. And I was like, this is not a PTO meeting, guys. I've ran the PTO, okay, meetings. This is not cookies and punch time. It's not after school. This is the Hispanic community. We're going to have tacos. You know, I want a little man coming in cooking or woman, whatever, cooking the tacos frescos. And I want, you know, horchatas. And I want things that speak to our community. They were just like, we don't pay for that. And I'm like, well, somebody's going to pay for it. So find them. I was like, aren't you the Republican Party of Texas? Don't y'all have money? I don't understand. Why is this so difficult? I mean, I was like, I'm not asking for $1 million. We're asking for like, I don't know, 1,000 and under, you know, like we're not very expensive. It doesn't take a lot to host something with Hispanic people. And sure enough, you know, I got what I wanted. I had to fight for it. But when they saw how successful it was, they were like, she's on to something. And that's what it was. It was like, it's like a church. We like to fellowship. We like to come and eat and talk. And, you know, we weren't drinking alcohol, but we were having horchatas and all these like pineapple juices and the tacos were all like being cooked on the spot. And it was such an awesome event. I can't tell you, such an awesome event. And then we did five others, you know, and went and talked and gathered all the data. And I'll tell you, The number one thing that Hispanics told us from across the state of Texas when I did these listening tours is that they told me, they said, when you asked them, what do you think of the Republicans? All of them, no backbone. They're not bold. They let everybody run over them. And that's not the Hispanic community. The Hispanic community is like, did you just say that to me? I don't think so. Like, they're going to talk right back to you. And that's what they were not used to. And so that's the thing. We've had weak leadership. And as you know, now look at now. Now they're like, these weak Republicans, you know, and get them out. And now the mob, our mob, we have a mob of our own, right? And we're like, vote them out. Like, we are on a mission now to drain the swamp as much as possible. Either you are for America first or you're out. Like, that's it. There's no more. You've been in there 30 years. Nope. I don't want to hear your rhetoric anymore. They're literally 70% of our Border Patrol agents are Hispanic. And they are under attack right now. Texas is fully is being invaded at this time. We have close to 600,000 illegals already who have come across Texas. The numbers are astronomical. And maybe I shouldn't say just Texas, because it's probably across the board. But there's too many illegals that have come across. They're getting their butts whooped at the border. And these our Hispanic Border Patrol are telling us, we're tired of the lip service. We're tired of having picture time, and these, you know, elected officials want to come and hoorah and act like they're going to do something, and they do nothing. They just want to come and observe, and then they go back and do nothing. We're like, no, when it's time, because I talked to Border Patrol agents, so I was like, hey, how many of you are up for retirement? It's time for us to run you for office. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yes. I mean, we've got some Border Patrol agents that are contemplating running for office in 2022 by 2024. They're going to gear up. I'm like, yeah, everything. We're taking it all. We're going to take the local. We're going to take the middle. We're going to take the top. We're taking it all. Like, if people are not going to do what they said they're going to do, they're out. And that's the amount of pressure that I think my organization for sure is putting down. We are breathing down every single elected official at every level. We've been testifying at Capitol on legislative affairs. We were testifying on that Second Amendment for constitutional carry. We've been there for the heartbeat bill. We've been there for election integrity like no business, because we know that they stole the elections from us. We know it. We had 80 poll watchers in, and never before had ever had poll watchers on our end in the Rio Grande Valley. We saw the corruption. We saw the cheating. We saw it all. So we have affidavit after affidavit. We went and testified on election integrity. We've been applying so much pressure at all levels, and that's how you make change. And so that's what we did. So I did 5 listening tours. I've toured the state of Texas. I can't even tell you how many times I've toured the state of Texas, and did 3 RV tours during this last election cycle that we went in. We pretty much met and traveled. And the thing is that people weren't holding events. If you think about it, COVID, you couldn't hold an event because of COVID. So we were like, you know what? This is why God had already told me from the very beginning, when I saw that bus with Laura Trump, I knew, I need to be doing something like that, because the Lord knew what was going to happen. He knew that this whole country was going to be shut down for election time. And guess what? We had the power to go out in a bus. Okay. Pull up on a sidewalk outside. You didn't let us hold an event. We were going to hold one out on the street. And we learned to make a statement without holding a function on the inside. And we took it to the streets. We took it to the boats. People had boat parades. I mean, you name it. People were just learning to make a statement about where they felt and how they felt about who they wanted to vote for and why they were so passionate about the America First agenda. Because at the end of the day, what people don't understand, and even Hispanics, I would tell Hispanics all the time, this is not about Trump. Please forget about Trump. It's not about Trump. This is about the policies. Let's talk about the things that are coming from his administration. They're like, oh no, but he said, and I was like, no. Let's talk about this. Like, we're going to get down to the nitty gritty. I'm going to present it to you right here in black and white at a policy right here. Boom. Boop. Boom.
Hold that thought, Bianca. We have to go to break real quick. We are here with President of Latinos for Trump, Bianca Gracia, and you are listening to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Check out the great articles over at AmericaOutLoud.com. America Out Loud, liberty and justice for all.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, It's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
And we're back with Rob and Andrew After Dark. And we're speaking with the president of Latinos for Trump, Bianca Garcia. And she has just really shared with us a lot of information, information that has been out there for quite some time, but for some reason, the left, the Democrats are trying to suppress it. One of that information being is the support that conservatives, the Republican Party has in the Black and the Latina community. And something that she pointed out, I hope you guys heard, is that she went out there and she realized that the Latina community was not being represented the way it should be. So she got her voice and said, hey, this is what we need in order to reach out to this community whose foundation is based upon conservatism. I have been saying that for quite some time on After Dark with Rob and Andrew, that the Black community and the Latino community, they're not monolithic the way Joe likes to view them as being. There are different areas and different shades and different groups with different beliefs. But in the end, the core value is conservatism. But you would never know it speaking with the Democrat, because they think that, oh no, let's give them this and give them that. Let's keep giving, giving, giving. They don't want the border wall. The Blacks don't believe in law and order, which is completely the opposite. It's completely the opposite. But if you don't take that message to people and let someone that looks like them go to them and talk to them, you would never know it. And as I said in the previous segment, it is going to be difficult. Yes, the Republicans are going to feel uncomfortable, but you've got to do it, because the lay of the land is changing. Voters are changing. And if you want to be an inclusive party and bring in more people, then you have got to go and meet them where it counts. Go to their communities, reach out to them and talk to them, as opposed to thinking, well, no, I can stand afar and they'll still get the message. That's not going to work. It is not going to work, because right now, when you go to a Black community and you say, what do you think about Republicans? The first thing they'll say is they're racist. It's like, wait, where did that come from? When right now you see who the racist party is, the party that created the Jim Crow laws, the party that fought to keep slavery, the party that is attacking Tim Scott so viciously because he is a conservative, attacking his Black skin because he is a conservative, using all manner of negative adjectives to describe him. Not once has Obama come out and say, we're above that. Don't do it. You might not like his ideas, but he's still a human being. He is yet to come out. Kamala Harris is yet to come out. Joe Biden is yet to come out. Now, Joe and Kamala did admit finally that America isn't systemically racist. And how could it be if they're constantly telling people to come across the border? How can it be when you have Black billionaires? So where's the systemic racism coming from? How can it be when you had the first Black president, not for one term, but for two terms? but not a one of them have come out and chastised their own party for attacking Tim Scott. And he's not the only one. There are other Black conservatives out there that they're attacking. Joy Reid gets up every morning and gives an invitation to white liberals to attack Black conservatives. Shame on you, Joy Reid. Shame on you, Don Lemon. Shame on all of the liberal networks that are yet to chastise their reporters, their journalists, and their commentators and pundits for attacking Black conservatives and Latino conservatives. Why are you attacking them? Are you afraid of them? It's disgraceful and it's wrong. Now, Bianca, something that I want you to explain to our audience, when you say the Latina community, explain the Latina community to our audience.
Well, our Latina community is obviously, you know, a lot of us are, you know, I always say this about the Latino community, the wife or, you know, whether single Latina or they become a, or their wife, right? Because we're family oriented. We believe that we're going to find a way to make money no matter what, right? So whether they sell tamales, tacos, purses, makeup, whatever they do, you're going to find a way to supplement income in your household. We're driven that way. We're entrepreneurs by nature. We, whether becoming a seamstress, whether it's cleaning, whether it doesn't matter, but the Latina community is very self-driven. You know, we like to look good. So we know we got to make money to look good. Right. And so we're family oriented. So we love our children. We want our children educated. So a lot of these values, it's a value system. We're, you know, a lot of us are very faithful people. We go to church. And so that the culture that we have, we're loving people. We're very loyal people. So long as you don't cross us, if you cross us, good luck. Cause try getting out of that one from a Latina, but you know, for the most part, we're very loving people. And, you know, and loyalty means a lot to us, you know, in friendships. And so we love to gather. We love to have, you know, growing up. I mean, every Friday, Saturday night, my parents had the family over, and I'm talking about all extended. The cousins were all running around outside. My dad would barbecue with all the uncles. You know, it's the fellowship. You get used to being around all your family. We find a reason to gather. Right?
And when you also whatever. When you say Latino, you're referring to Cubans, Mexicans, El Salvadorians, Uruguay, Paraguay.
Yeah.
That consists of the Latino community.
The Latino community. They just love, we love to gather. We're always looking for an excuse to get together, right? Oh, whose birthday is it going to come up? Because it's always, we're always trying to find a way to get together. You know, and that's just how we are. We're very family oriented. I'm telling you, I mean, I go home and when I visit my family, there's, I don't know, 60 people in one house. And I look around and I'm like, this is just my brothers and sisters and their kids. That's it. Like, we don't even have extended family there. Can you imagine if we started to invite the uncles and the aunts and the grandmother? There is 60, probably plus now, because I think I have some of my brothers and sisters or their kids now have had kids or whatever. But the last time I was like, I counted 60 in a house. And I was like, Mom, like what? This is just us. Voting block. This is, I'm telling you, 70. I mean, we're hitting it. We're almost going to, I was like, Mom, like it's just seven brothers and sisters. And this is all our kids. Like, this is crazy.
So when you look at that, and something that you had said in the last segment, as far as voting being generational and getting people to understand it. I mean, that's so true in the Black community, as far as generational voting. When we had a guest to come on the other night, and she said that she was just happened to be born into the Democratic Party. But when she started looking at her values, her values were conservative. She didn't know how to say it. She didn't know what to say. She was afraid that there would be this like pushback on her. And I think a lot of Blacks, including myself, I felt the same way until I decided, no, I am going to stand up for my core values because they're rooted in conservatism. and not this whole liberal give and give and give and do this and do that. You know, there is a value system that's there. And that is what the Republican Party has got to realize. You have got to go in and you've got to talk to people and let them know, wait, we have the values that you believe in. Listen to us. Listen to what we have to say. And something else that you said that I thought was so important, as opposed to saying I'm a Republican, approach it from the value aspect that you have conservative values. Do your research and then let them come back and say, wait a minute, I'm identifying with the wrong party because the Democratic Party doesn't have my value. They don't have my value system. My value system is more aligned here. But again, because the left has managed to beat down Republicans, Republicans are like, are cowards. They run away. They're losing the culture warfare. They're afraid to stand up. They're afraid to embrace other groups and bringing other groups, which is what is needed. Because again, that voter registration, that voter block is changing, and it's changing fast. And it is time to wake up. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Robin, Trump has pretty much changed the dynamics of what inclusiveness means into a conservative party. You know, he's and you're right. This is where we're at. You know, the future and where we're going. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter on our skin color, right? We represent our community, our culture.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the skin color is a nothing. It's about who we are as Americans. It's about who we are in community. And I tell people, look, just because I'm an American and I say, well, I'm an American first before I'm Hispanic or Latino or whatever you want to call me, you know, I am American first. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. Because I tell people, look, never, ever be ashamed of your culture, because our culture is beautiful. Right. We have a beautiful culture, you know, with an extraordinary history. You know, some of the first Medal of Honors recipients, you know, were Mexican American. And, you know, I think Lincoln gave the first Medal of Honor in the Southern War to a Mexican. And I think in the state of Texas, we have 60 Medal of Honors that are Latinos, you know, that are Mexican of descent. And so if people think that Mexicans, Hispanics, Latinos have not been fighting for freedom and liberty in this country, we've been there at the forefront. We were at the Battle of the Alamo. We were at the Battle of San Jacinto. And we fought for liberty and freedom. So that's one thing that I think that, you know, this whole the education system has watered down the history, the true history. And where, you know, listen, the Republican Party in Texas was founded by 100 Black men. So, I mean, like, it's like, what exactly, how is, are we that we're the racist? You know, but this is, can you imagine if I went and I started to tell, you know, Miss Joy herself on MSNBC, if I started to tell her you're racist because you're Black and you're Democrat. Can you imagine the outrage that the Democrats would be like, you know, I'm like, but at this point, I'm to the point where I'm like, you know what? Use their own tactics and use it against them.
And we have to. We've got to fight back that way.
Yeah, you have to fight. And it's not you know, it's not politically correct, right? And nobody wants to do that non-politically correct. But at this point in time, it's like, I'm sorry, you've got to put that political correctness aside, because we're losing our country when you're too busy about crossing that T and dotting that I.
Right.
You've got to sometimes fight fire with fire.
You have to. And we're losing that culture. We have given up so much ground by allowing them to sit there and identify who we are. And it's like, you've got to stop it. We're all Americans. We're Americans first.
Mm-hmm.
And all these little subsets. I'm African-American. No, I'm an American. Mm-hmm. I am an American. And it's the left, you know, Rob, that are trying to identify it that way. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. And Rob, but back in the 60s, that's what happened. In the 60s, that's the Democrat Party is the one that started categorizing us.
Yep.
They wanted to start breaking this down.
I spoke about that on one of our shows. Yes.
Did you? Yeah, that's what happened. I mean, they started to categorize us. And I understood. I think I understand why, you know, because the civil rights movement was so big in the 1960s and people didn't feel like they had equality. So I understand that they had to say, okay, well, the Blacks and the, you know, the Hispanics and, or, you know, or the Mexicans, whatever you want, because they've broken us down to so many different names now and categories. But, you know, I understand why that we wanted, maybe at the time in the 60s, people wanted to be to say, you know, they didn't want that America. They're like, hey, I'm proud of who I am. I want to be black. I want black on this, right. On this application. I want Mexican. I want to be able to say I'm Mexican. Right. And that's great and dandy. But what happened is they took it and they just went even further.
I got crazy with that.
I mean, like 82 genders, they just keep kind of going. I mean, like, I think I had a friend that went and sat in on one of the Democrat meetings and they said, I've never heard them break down. Now they're even breaking down the LGBTQ. It's not just the lesbian gay community now. It's like LGBTQ TP plus whatever. I mean, it's like now they have subcategories within the LGBTQ. I'm like, why would you do that to people? Like, now you're like making them even go further down. Like, they can't just be gay. Now you have to just tell them that they're gay with the, oh, they believe that they're a unicorn. This one's a pink unicorn. This one identifies as this. I mean, they literally fight over this. They really were fighting over it in a Democrat. My friend, I'm telling you, she had infiltrated and she was like, she came out of there. She goes, oh my God, I don't even know what to think right now. She's like, I can't even believe they were fighting over this stuff, but they literally were fighting about the categories and how to subcategory and how they were going to message to each category of people. And I'm like, at the end of the day, we're all Americans. We all should love who we are. Right. If you're proud of who you are, however you want to identify, but we don't have to have it a government mandate to do it. Nobody needs to have a government mandate to tell us that who I am. It doesn't define me. Government doesn't define who I am. And I think that that's very important. You know, we just it's the rhetoric. And now everything the left is losing. And they know that if they lose the Black and the Hispanic, it's over for them. You know, you got Joaquin Castro and AOC and Beto O'Rourke, who runs around as a fake Mexican, which is not even Mexican, he's Irish.
It's hilarious.
I mean, identifying. Yeah, that's like me. I'm like, okay, well, you know, Pocahontas over there saying she was Indian when she wasn't Indian.
This is what they strive on, identity politics. Uh-huh. It's all about identity politics. If they try to categorize people, put them in these little categories, and then they tell them, okay, now you got to stand up and you got to yell your name to make certain that people know that you're here, as opposed to saying, we're Americans. Why can't we just be Americans? When people tell me, oh, you're African-American, I'm like, I'm an American. I know nothing about Africa. Yes, my ancestries might have come from Africa years and years ago, but right now, I'm an American and I am proud to be an American and there is nothing wrong with it. And you would think that the left would say, congratulations to you because you are an American, but they want to put me into little subsets and then go around and say, okay, this group is against this group and you don't like this group. I'm like, it's all too confusing. I can't keep it up.
And listen, and I'm sure you feel the same way, but it's like now, you know, we're brown skinned. And now we're racist because we believed in Trump, who was a white, you know, the bad orange man is what they call him.
I'm right.
Like, isn't that racist? I mean,
yep, we're racist now. White, we're racist. I mean,
come on. I'm like, if my grandmother was alive today and people were calling me racist and a Nazi and a white supremacist because I was supporting Trump, I mean, I think my grandma would be like, this generation is dumb. I mean, she would be like, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Everybody, she'd be like trying to knock everybody on their head, you know, like, and it's mind-boggling just because now if you are a conservative, if you believe in a certain way, you're now a racist. The very thing that the Democrats fought for, right?
Discrimination. Exactly. Right. Yep.
The very same thing they fought for. Is the very thing that they're doing to people now is discriminating upon anybody because of their belief system.
And then attack Christianity onto it.
And that's even further. You know what my husband said the other day, and he made a point and it got me thinking, Rob. And I said, what? You know, that actually makes sense. He says, you know, Bianca, he says, back in the 60s, all these people, these young people that were in that the fight, right, for civil liberty, for, you know, equality and the civil rights and discrimination and against discrimination. He says, all these people, I think, are now grown up. And these are the people right now in power. I think they grew up and said, we will never let anybody ever discriminate against us again, you know, because they felt like the white man had discriminated upon them so bad.
that he says, I think these people grew up and said, we're going to take over so that they can never do this to us. And now they've become the very thing that they fought.
They have become against. The monster that they fought against. And I'm glad you said that.
Exactly.
You can't build up one person by tearing down the other, because mm-hmm. you're forgetting history. Why would I want to go around and say, white people are bad, they're bad, they're bad. There are bad people all mm-hmm. over.
All over. It doesn't all matter. Over. Yeah, all over. It doesn't matter what. There's not one culture or ethnic group that is super perfect. There's nobody. There's no one out there. And the only perfect one was Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's about it. You know, everybody else, we're all sinners. So get at the back of the bus and get in the back of the line, because no one is perfect, and you can't say that one is over the other. And it's just very hypocritical of what they have become. The very thing that they have fought for, you know, in history and made history for, are the very thing that they now are doing themselves upon other people. And so, you know, that's what we're facing. And I think that the more minorities that are speaking out, the more that I think we have become the new, you know, conservatism is cool. It is cool. And now you see Joe Biden. He's trying to do this whole, we're going to add on 4 years of more school. Let's indoctrinate these kids because it's working. So we've got to fight. We got to fight back.
Bianca, Latinos for Trump has been an invaluable asset for the Republican Party. What are the plans for the future for Latinos for Trump?
Well, we have our Latinos for Trump is still active organization. We're not going to dissolve it, but we did rename our PAC. We are Latinos for America First, and are pushing obviously policies and legislative, you know, are becoming a lobbyist arm kind of thing. You know, I don't want to become one of those kind of lobbyists, but you know, we're pushing for the America First agenda. We want to help conservatives get into office for 2022. And even in the local races, our state director just ran she became a US citizen last year in January and just ran for her first position this election right now, May 1st. Out of five people, she came in third, which was extremely good. She beat out the GOP pick. So that's a huge accomplishment for her. And now she's been asked to serve on boards. It's amazing. We're going to start training and mentoring people. I work with an organization to send college kids that are, you know, the Black and Hispanics, or, you know, that we're sending them to DC for internships to get mentored. They're working at Capitol Hill. They're working at policy foundations. So I recruit young kids to be able to give them an opportunity. It's a paid for internship. We are just doing whatever we need to do. And we're going to continue to do that, continue to educate, continue to create conferences. We continue to go into the communities, continue to be a vocal person. For any more information on our organization, you can visit LatinoTrumpCoalition.org. That's our organization. And LatinosForAmericaFirst.com is our PAC. So you can visit us there. And anybody who wishes to reach out to me, you can find me on any of the social media platforms if they haven't, you know, already taken me down. I'm at Bianca for Texas. So that's just where you can find me on my tag. But yeah, any other questions that people have, or, you know, how to get involved, you know, just reach out to us and we'll try to get you involved. And I tell people, you can get as little involved or you can get a big involved. There's no right or wrong. You say what you can do and start doing something. That the main thing is to do something, you know, is not to sit back and think that somebody else is going to do it for you. Is become actively involved. You just got to get involved with the community. You've got to be vocal. You've got to say, hey, this is the last stand that we have for America. We got to fight for it. It's a land of opportunity, and we're losing our opportunities. We're losing our freedoms. And we just got to do what we got to do. So that's what's in the future for us. And I don't know what else God has planned on the road, but we're going to continue to do what the Lord is just blessed us with and continues to, you know, keep us on this road.
Yeah, thank you so much to our guest, Bianca Gracia. What a fantastic story. And Latinos for Trump has done so much for the Republican Party. And just it goes to show when you get organized, what can be accomplished. Thanks to Latinos for Trump, we've seen some of those massive Trump train parades over the 2020 election cycle. The support was absolutely massive. Thank you all for joining us tonight on another episode of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. Head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com for countless hours of content. Remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.